Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, jau wi viva katbang, half a day, jai jinendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Kilitary Industrial Corporation in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster-bankrupt corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy, unchallenged by media, mediocrity, food-borne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and great to have you listening. Thank you so much for joining us. I am just getting back from a little trip to the Los Angeles area, visiting with friends and family, checking out a possible venue for a possible World Vegan Summit and Expo, since people seem to be pressuring me, but nothing definite yet, and the dates that I wanted at this venue are already booked, but we'll see what happens here. Pressure on me. Pressure. I also, for the first time ever, had an MRI. This was related to the injuries that I suffered after getting rear-ended. Sounds kind of suggestive. It's suggestive that you had a car accident. And I don't know if you've ever had an MRI. They basically put you into something called the claustrophobia panic machine. I think the first problem is, you know, when you come in through the door, they ask you if you are claustrophobic. And then the second part, you know, I mean, I hadn't even considered that I would have a claustrophobic experience there. But they ask at the front desk, and then they give you a questionnaire, and there's the question again. Are you claustrophobic? You know, I hadn't thought about being claustrophobic here, you know, but there it is in the paper, and, you know, then I'm starting to feel claustrophobic actually in the front office, the power of suggestion there. And then when you're about to enter into this claustrophobic panic machine, they give you something to hold called a panic button. Which, of course, I'm pushing within 2 seconds of them handing me the panic button. Get me out of here! Which are really words of human privilege, right? I enjoy human privilege, you know? Can you imagine any animal on a farm or in a slaughterhouse or lab or zoo or circus or, you know, used in entertainment saying, hey, get me out of here, huh? And voila, instant... Well, it was instant human privilege for me. They got me out of there right away. Any of you cage-free chickens there? Any of you tens of thousands of birds crammed into a barn? Are any of you claustrophobic? Huh? Then do what Bobby does. Okay, they put a pair of blindfolds on, and then you won't see what happens to you. That was the solution for me. But the others do see. They do see what happens to them on the way to your plate, huh? Except if you are vegan. And so, on my brief stay in the Woodland Hills area there in Southern California, I patronized the 100% vegan restaurants that were there, the vegan joint on Ventura Boulevard, and the veggie grill on Topanga Canyon Boulevard. And I do declare, please, whenever possible, support your local 100% vegan restaurants. And the, 100% vegan restaurants in the areas where you visit, if you're traveling, check out who's 100% vegan and please support them. If you're around a Loving Hut, by all means, stop by. The food is great. People who open 100% vegan restaurants are really, they're putting it all on the line. They're taking things to a higher level at some risk, you know? I mean, they, as a result, I think they deserve your support. So, vegan restaurants are like the missionary work, right? That's really what they are. I have so many people who get in touch with me and they say, "Oh, all right, I'm convinced. I'm convinced. Now, what do I eat?" So, well, you can look up vegan recipes on the interweb, but definitely patronize your local vegan restaurants, 100% vegan restaurants. Resist your death breath friends who try to convince you to go to some cadaver cafe that has a vegan option or two, huh? And instead, why not convince your friends to go with you, to a restaurant where nobody eating has to be offended. And if your friends won't go with you, to a vegan restaurant, just get new friends. Yeah. I need new friends now after this last election. Ay-ay-ay. Now I'm being blamed for Trump getting elected. I'm being blamed. Me, the Russian James Comey, Go Vegan Radio with Jill Stein, getting blamed. I probably will need new friends after the election. Probably it's happened to a lot of people, huh? Has it happened with you? You've lost friends. You're not talking to family members anymore after this recent election. Anyway, well, I was happy to see my. Hey, I never said vote for Trump. I wasn't for Trump. It was just, how can you bear the corruption, the criminality, that was Hillary. Hey, and by the way, don't blame me. I mean, it's like, who? Why is Trump president? It's because of Hillary and the Clinton campaign. After all, they were the ones who elevated Trump. They were the ones who decided who the acceptable Republican opponents would be. The ones that would be elevated by the Clinton-influenced media, and they were Trump and Cruz and Carson. They were to be the easy ones, the ones that Hillary would just completely overwhelm in an election. But so the Clinton campaign picked Trump, and Hillary's media elevated Trump. And her Bernie won the primary anyway, so Bernie should be the president-elect right now. So, I mean, if we were protesting an election, perhaps it should have been the primaries, which were stolen from Bernie. So that's where the corruption and fraud were. Anyway, the thing is, don't expect results from politicians and government and corporations anyway. We have to do it on our own, and the only way to achieve any progressive goals would be to go vegan. And again, people are concerned about climate change and the environment. We'll talk more about climate change in just a bit here now. So I hope I didn't lose too many friends, but I do have. It was great seeing my good old friends at Vegetarian House in San Jose on the way back from Los Angeles off the 101 freeway. Just a great 100% vegan restaurant. Vegetarian house, organic, non-GMO. Let's see, I stopped by with Daisy. I had a Greek salad, a Jolly Burger, which I think the burger, the Jolly Burger at Vegetarian House has to be just one of the best vegan burgers available anywhere. I mean, it's just really delicious. If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, South Bay, San Jose, Silicon Valley, you really owe it to yourself to stop by Vegetarian House. It's been there for decades. And let's see. So, and I took chow mein to go. So there, Greek salad, Jolly Burger, and chow mein. And then a warm chocolate muffin for dessert and organic coffee for the road. And Vegetarian House also caters. And the catering business is booming. If you have an event coming up in the Bay Area, a social event, a wedding, a business event, check out Vegetarian House for catering. The food will be great. Go to vegetarianhouse.us. And again, it's at 520 East Santa Clara Street. You have to stop by. Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. If you're concerned about going vegan, that you'll be limited to romaine lettuce, forget about it. We have the best food. We do. So you can get a sample of that at vegetarianhouse.us. And okay, so we're back in Northern California after a few days in Southern California. Back here now for our live broadcast, which we do Mondays instead of Sundays. Now it's Mondays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. You know, it seemed like we could just never get it together on time on Sundays by 5 p.m., Pacific hippie time here. So we figure, well, let's. If we can't get it on time by 5 p.m. Sundays, why not just shoot for 5 p.m. Mondays? And pretty good. I got started only, what, 10 minutes late today, so Pacific hippie time. After the trip, which is a little tiring, but anyway. So, for listening live, you click listen live at goveganradio.com, where our programs are archived, and where you do find a donate button. The magic donate button that makes all of our dreams come true. So you can make a tax-deductible donation, and you'll find that we really do more for humanity and humanity and other species. I would say we do more for humanity and other species than the Clinton Foundation, and yet, No donations from Saudi Arabia here into Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Even though I can get the Saudi royal family, I can get them a good discount on the Jolly Burger at Vegetarian House. That would be the, what is it, quid pro quo. So, okay. No major donations from Saudi Arabia or Qatar to Go Vegan Radio. Yet we do more for the world by helping people go vegan because it's the only way to save the world from climate change. And for some reason, the Clinton Foundation doesn't seem to be promoting that fact. Who does? Except for us. So here we are, animal agriculture, the number one cause of climate change. Responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. And the only way to address climate change is for at least 50 to 85% of humanity now following that wrongful diet, that diet of death, a diet of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. There has to be a conversion to vegan or we are doomed. Yeah. So otherwise, let's see, we'll reach our tipping points. We have to do this by 2020 or by 2050. Probably the city where you are right now will be submerged. 1,700 U.S. cities face submersion by 2050 if we don't do something, and that something is going vegan. And So I guess that's an important enough cause to where you may want to make a donation to Go Vegan Radio, since nobody else is making anybody aware of this life-saving fact. Even the people who claim that they recognize climate change, that they know climate change is existing, they're still deniers when it comes to the solution. And this is the only place for the solution. And so help us spread the word. This is the only place for the solution to alleviate the animal suffering and killing. Let's if we end the demand for their bodies, for their secretions, then there will be no need for the massacre, the war on animals that's happening. So anyway, so you can make your tax-deductible donation to Go Vegan Radio by going to goveganradio.com and click on donate. And next month, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden turns sweet 16. Can you believe it? Wow. Of course, sweetened without refined white sugar, which is filtered through cow bones. Oh, and we're turning sweet 16, but not sweetened with honey, because bee vomit is not vegan, and also no high fructose corn syrup, which is GMO. And we've been anti-GMO right from the start here, educating the public about GMOs. In fact, I'm the first one in California to have been arrested for protesting against GMOs. It happened in San Diego. And that's when I realized my first inkling that I might be claustrophobic was when I was arrested. Then, so when I finally get to take an MRI and they ask, "Are you claustrophobic?" Flashback to the protest against GMOs in San Diego. I don't know if I was arrested because I was protesting against GMOs or because my poetic approach really warranted arrest, but what was my chant at the time? It was "We don't want no potato engineered by Monsanto. Arrest that guy, get him off the streets, disturbing the public." So I was. Had a couple of arrests for animal rights, freedom of speech issues. Yes, I was out there protecting, your First Amendment right to free speech, and had to suffer claustrophobia a couple of times for it. But that is a sacred right, a sacred right. Anyway, so anyway, next month we turn sweet 16. And aside from the prohibited sweeteners just mentioned, there are still lots of other sweeteners. Vegan sweeteners, stevia, organic cane sugar, fruit juice, maple syrup, but not the kind that, I don't know, why is it with some maple syrup they somehow have to put rotting pig body into the maple syrup? The rotting pig body named Bacon. I don't know. Anyway, how did I get into rotting pig bodies in maple syrup? Oh yeah, okay. Next month, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden turns sweet 16, and we started on terrestrial radio before that went extinct, and we've been on major radio networks before they went extinct. Maybe you should donate before humanity goes extinct. We have to get the word out. We all have to go vegan, or we will all go extinct. So please help out the Sweet 16 radio program. Hey, we saw George W. Bush come and go. This radio show, we see Obama come and go, and still we go on, right? The vegan show, the vegan show must go on. The show must go on, and here we are. And you can help. as we turn Sweet 16. You can help us continue to broadcast on a weekly basis. You can help us organize the events that need to be organized, like another World Vegan Summit and Expo. You can see what a reluctant organizer I am, but the pressure is there. Professor Gary Francione said the last one in Berkeley was the best animal rights conference he ever attended, and so these events seem meaningful to people. I'm the reluctant one. I have to raise the money to do this, find the venue. Am I complaining? Nope, I can't complain. I can't complain again because, right, any animal on any farm or, lab, zoo, circus, you name it, any would trade places with me for these problems, right? So, okay, I'm not complaining. I'm just asking for you to help us with a donation at goveganradio.com right now. We would greatly appreciate it. For example, if you could donate $16,000 right now. I mean, I know you meant to donate $1,000 a year to Go Vegan Radio. Every year it was on your mind to do that, but, you got busy, distracted, and now you want to, just really, complete your, make it up and, make it complete. So, all right, so if you can, $16,000 would be greatly appreciated. $16,000 it is. Or however close you can get to that amount. Well, even if it's just $16, I know the only one who maybe who could donate the $16,000 would be someone like Wayne Pacelli at the Humane Society of the United States, or all the other people there making their six figures, and but they're busy promoting cage free eggs. Okay, I get it. So anyway. $16 would be greatly appreciated. I mean, if all 16 of our listeners just donated $16, I don't know. I guess we'd learn more about square roots or something, I guess. Hi, Daisy Bebe. It's radio show day, sweetie. My little vegan love, Daisy, here with me, who made the trip down to L.A. And we took our Evolution dog food with us. Daisy loves Evolution. People are amazed. They say, what, she's vegan? Yep, happy, healthy vegan. And she loves Evolution. And if you're interested in Evolution dog and cat food, go to petfoodshop.com. Petfoodshop.com. And that's the food that Daisy loves. So let's see, where are we now? So, since I've gotten home, and we haven't been home that long, so I'm still kind of slightly disorganized here, recovering from the long ride, which is horrendous. I would prefer to take the 101 all the way, but that adds on so much time. So if you wind up taking Interstate 5 between Los Angeles and San Francisco, you are reminded of that obscenity on the side of the road. First the fragrance hits you, that concentration camp there, Harris Ranch. You see all the victims there. It's just cows as far as the eye can see. The suffering and death, you smell it. You smell it as you go by. And what's amazing there, though, is that I believe that they have a restaurant and some sort of hotel on the property. Now, that's got to, that fragrance that hits you on the side of the road. Now, that's so appetizing, right? I mean, that's, oh, look. The fragrance of miles and miles of cow poop. Okay. I'm always amazed at what the herbivore species, humans, eat. Recovering from the trip back from L.A. And, also, I don't have a terror vision set at home. I just do the computer screen thing. And down in LA, of course, the motel room had had the cable with terror vision, and you know, I mean, it's you know, you, after an election like this, and you know, everybody's thinking, well, seems like there are many stupid people in this and what is the reason for that? It must be they are watching this terror vision set. I mean, if anything will make you stupid, it's you know, I just went round and round, just you know, just as a study, and because I haven't watched terror vision in a while. Phew, with good reason. You know, I just keep, you know, with the thumb pressing, pressing, pressing. Nothing of interest for me. Just nothing of interest whatsoever. Just hundreds of channels of nothing of interest. And there's, I see MSDNC. There's Rachel Maddow. There's Chris Hayes. I, you know, I watch them and I wonder, how did these people even get jobs? You know, I really. I'm amazed at what I'm seeing. These are the anchors on MSDNC, and even on that on that channel, Brian Williams has a program. You know what I mean? Like the big subject lately in the news seems to be fake news. Nobody knows what's real anymore. We talk about fake news, and here on MSDNC, Brian Williams has a show. Brian Williams, who makes up the news. Brian Williams, who, you know, has all that military experience, like, you know, similar to Hillary with her Bosnia sniper experience. And, you know, I mean, is it not hilarious that the election night coverage had the anchors, Brian Williams and Rachel Maddow? Now, if I'm Rachel Maddow, I'm saying, like, what am I doing here with this guy? This guy just makes up stuff, you know? So, how did he ever get another show? How is that possible? So I'm sure that they are they're continuing to do their fake news, and I'm off. I'm somewhat consumed with, I must say, that's, is that why I'm not so prepared for today's show? Yeah, I seem to be somewhat consumed with, you know, what the fake news propagandists of, you know, the ABC, CNNBC, CBS, PBS censorship channel. They're like propagandists, the Pravdagandists. They are the Pravdagandists of today. Who would have thought? But all of them were, you know, in such collusion with the corruption of Hillary, and all of these companies, the media companies, who donated a fortune to Hillary's campaign. So I don't expect that we're going to hear much about Pizzagate from them. And is it real news? Is it fake news? Are you? I mean, I've mentioned this the last few weeks. So this is, I don't know. It's like here we had this whole election cycle. Basically, it was like living a horror movie, right? It's a this whole election was a horror movie, and now what do we have after the election? It could be even a scarier horror movie. I mean, I thought the worst of these people just when they were running for office. And you know, now what do I think of them as you know, satanic, what are they? What are they? You know, you know, satanic cannibals dealing in trafficking children? I mean, it seems like such fake news, and yet there seems to be so much, if you want to call it circumstantial evidence, but it comes right out of the emails of John Podesta, the chair of the Clinton campaign, and his brother, Tony Podesta, and the artwork that they adorn. You know, their homes seem to be adorned with pedophilia artwork, and they talk so much about, well, it seems to be all these code words, you know, Pizzagate. Pizza itself, now the term seems to be, itself to mean pedophilia. There are these code words. Who would have imagined that cheese would mean little girl, and pasta would mean little boy? And it's really quite amazing. And these are seem to be documented by the FBI, that these are the code words that are used in all of this. And it's just really pretty amazing, pretty shocking what we're hearing about all of this. Let's see, there was somebody, there were updates on this, and Reality Calls, I think that was the YouTube channel, Reality Calls seemed to have pretty good, if you want to get your mind off of everything, you know, and just want to get into a real horror story to, you know, distract you from the horror of the election. Reality Calls was a good YouTube channel, and oddly enough, it was interesting that she related, you know, what they're talking about with these satanic rituals and eating and drinking blood and semen and urine and all of that, and the animal sacrifice, human sacrifice, perhaps. And on the Reality Calls YouTube channel, she seemed to, when I heard her give a synopsis and give summaries of Pizzagate, it almost seemed like she was doing it from the perspective of a vegan. And then she did mention that she was vegan and how she could relate these satanic rituals to what happens in the slaughterhouse. So I'm not the only one. You know, I'm not the only one who sees the connection. And, you know, people think that this is fake news. So from what I understand, Reddit banned the hashtag Pizzagate, and maybe Twitter also banned Pizzagate. But then I don't understand why they don't ban real pizza then. If they're going to ban Pizzagate, real pizza is certainly horrific in so many ways. It involves sacrifice. It involves the killing of children, the brutality, rape, murder. So I don't, I don't see much difference. Then there's the consumption of blood. You know, the dairy itself is full of blood and pus. And so, I mean, if there are satanic rituals and people are grossed out that, oh, you know, they're drinking sperm and urine and blood and pus, well, if you go to the Not Milk website, you know, if you're having milk, you're having pus. If you're having a cheese pizza, you know, there's a lot of pus in that. That's blood. Someone had to be killed. Well, everyone was killed for that pussy, bloody cheese pizza, actually. So, yeah, then what if you're having a pepperoni pizza? What is that, pig body on there? Well, you know, there's a plague of diarrhea that's going around it's a virus going around amongst the pigs, and to what they're given to immunize them against this virus is diarrhea. So pepperoni on your pizza, that pig flesh is the flesh of somebody fed diarrhea. So why are we getting grossed out by the satanic rituals in which the podestas and who else? It looks like it could be the people, the elite of the country in the highest positions of our government and politics and government and politics around the world who participate in these satanic rituals, the kind of satanic rituals that everybody who buys a pizza from Domino's participates in, which they do such a thing. So, I go to the nutmilk.com website, so what does it say here? The United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, has a milk ordinance governing milk safety. USDA does not allow milk containing 750 million or more pus cells per liter to be shipped across state borders. So there you go. Here we have regulations. The USDA says that we should not allow milk containing more than 750 million or more pus cells per liter to be shipped across state lines. That means, 749 million pus cells would be okay, right? So also on the Not Milk website here, it says last year the average liter of milk in America contained only 32.3 million pus cells, according to Hordes Dairymen. Daisy? Radio show day, bye-bye. There's Daisy. Daisy saying hi. Daisy, the vegan dog. So what does it say here? It says, last year, the average liter of milk in America contained only 32.3 million pus cells, according to Hordes Dairyman, the dairy industry magazine. Author Jim Dickrell reports that the level of pus cells has been rising ever since farmers began using Monsanto's genetically engineered bovine growth hormone. And on it goes. Okay. So let me see. Somebody's walking by, apparently walking the doggies. So let's see. According to this article, when cell counts in milk exceed $200 million per liter, the odds favor that the udder is infected or is recovering from infection. So, the pus from infected udders. Okay. Anyway, it sounds like a satanic ritual to me to be drinking this. So imagine, we're talking about pizza and Pizzagate and actually pizza itself, the word, I don't know, it's hard to think of it now because of this story, but pizza now seems to mean pedophilia. That's the code word, pizza itself. And that's taking, such a standard in America, such, just one of our basic foods, and it's hard to think about pizza again, in the same way. If this is code word for pedophilia, really, like a cheese pizza. Well, what's pedophilia? I mean, they're not adult cows who were raped, and the baby is taken, the male baby goes to become veal or is fattened up to become beef, while we take the milk intended for him and put that on the cheese pizza. And part of the satanic rituals that have been discussed with the podestas has been that they're consuming breast milk, human milk, and you know, that's supposed to be gross too. The blood, the urine, the sperm, and the breast milk, and yet we're not grossed out by having the breast milk of another species, the bovine breast milk. So, it would seem to me almost that that vegan pizza would be, to me, is almost like an exorcism now. I mean, like, it's just the term pizza is becoming so impure. And when you think about a cheese pizza and with all the dead body toppings, how impure they are also. So I think what we need is an exorcism. You know, I think instead of having, you know, diarrhea pepperoni on a pizza and pus and blood, and, you know, very often cow's milk contains tuberculosis and leukemia. I mean, So, may I suggest, by means of exorcism, that you you try one of the delicious pizzas out there that is vegan. And there are many of them. And you can get them at your grocery store, and they're quite delicious. And let's take a look at what pizzas are available for you so that we can move away from these pizzas of ritualistic sacrifice, okay? Let me see what we have listed here. Well, for example, we have the Planet Vegan website, and it lists 10 vegan pizzas, 10 frozen vegan pizzas. And, again, they come from companies that some companies are 100% vegan, and other companies are not 100% vegan, but they do put out vegan pizzas. And Tofurky is a 100% vegan company, and it has, let's see here, we have a Tofurky vegan cheese pizza, a Tofurky pepperoni pizza, a Tofurky Italian sausage pizza, and Tofurky is using Daiya cheese. Daiya also makes a pizza. I don't know, I guess availability varies from location to location. Different stores have different pizzas. For example, I often see the Amy's No Cheese Pizza in some locations, and I really do like that one a lot. Amy's is not a vegan company. Many of its products are vegan, and the cheese pizza, the No Cheese Pizza, is vegan. A number of Amy's pizzas are not vegan, so I've always liked the Amy's No Cheese Pizza, and that's good. I mean, whether you warm it up or, you know, it thaws out and it's room temperature, it's pretty tasty. Amy's also has the roasted vegetable pizza with no cheese, that's vegan. And Amy's vegan margarita pizza with Daiya cheese, that's vegan. And Amy's spinach pizza rice crust. Then there's also Tofutti, the Tofutti pan crust pizza pizzazz. And let's see what else. The Whole Foods 365 everyday value roasted vegetable pizza with rice crust or wheat crust. That's vegan. And let's see, did we cover those? I think I covered all of those that are on this Planet Vegan list here. And in addition to those, there's also the American Flatbread Vegan Harvest. And there's the, I mentioned Daiya has a vegan pizza. And then Oh Yes has vegan pizzas, Bold, and I think that just about does it for the pizzas out there. The pizzas that come without any ritualistic animal sacrifice, without the blood and pus that come with your typical pizza. And you know, there's another concern I have about baked goods and baked goods and pizza crust. So I always check out, and you know, these are vegan, but if baked goods and pizza crusts have L-cysteine in them, those come from either human hair or chicken feathers. So I tend to avoid those ingredients. Why, it's sweet 16, and we're sweetened without human hair or chicken feathers here at GoVeganRadio.com. Okay, well, coming up next hour, we have a commentary with Professor Gary Francione. You tell me, is Pizzagate real, or is it fake news, you know, like Brian Williams fake news? You tell me. We'll continue. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. We would greatly appreciate it if you would support us with a tax-deductible donation. We are here to save the world. And, you know, when you're donating to Go Vegan Radio, you know, it's to the vegan cause. We will never, ever, ever promote cage-free eggs or pasture-raised or grass-fed. I just saw grass-fed beef available in one of the markets in Los Angeles there. How environmentally irresponsible can you be when grass-fed ruminants produce up to 400% the methane of their closely confined counterparts? And and methane is up to 100 times more deadly in the greenhouse gas equation, and it's really just a mess. If we don't go vegan, it's just a mess. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and that is if we haven't been deleted at Twitter because we were talking about Pizzagate. Twitter at GoVeganRadio, and to me, all pizza is Pizzagate. On Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and the two Bob Linden pages on Facebook to make sure I do everything in triplicate and everything inefficiently. And so this was a report from ABC. That's the headline here is "Recall: This fully cooked chicken could make you sick." Well, what chicken can't make you sick? Huh? Okay. But anyway, from Washington, KTRK, if you have chicken in the freezer, you'll want to pull it out. Why would you have a dead bird in your freezer? That's pretty... Okay. Anyway, so it says here, nearly 2 million pounds of ready-to-eat chicken is being recalled as part of an expansion of an earlier recall announced last month. The products are sold as fully cooked for you to heat and serve, but National Steak and Poultry, which produce the meat, says it may be undercooked and can make you sick. The chicken was sold at stores nationwide under a variety of names, including Hormel Natural Choice, Magna Foods, Mr. Hero, NSP, and Shaker Valley Foods. The affected chicken has whatever an establishment number of P601OT inside the USDA mark of inspection. Ooh, how gross. Anyway, the chicken was, available between August 20th and November 30th. So, you know, there are so many recalls of animal products. I haven't covered as many as I could, but, I mean, you can always go to, I believe it's the FDA website and, you know, plentiful. Pretty regular. So, let's see. I would like to thank Stanford Inn for its support of the radio program. The Stanford Inn is the one and only vegan eco-resort in the USA. Go to StanfordInn.com. It's on the beautiful California Mendocino coast, where you can do a lot or do nothing. Go kayaking and biking. Companion animals welcome. Check out the rooms at StanfordInn.com. So if you're planning a vacation, and this is a special destination, the special restaurant, the Ravens Restaurant, completely vegan restaurant with the gardens, food grown in the garden right there at the Stanford Inn. Dining at the Ravens is a book released by the Stanfords. Let's see, was I supposed to turn off music? Maybe I was supposed to, let's see, did Ben turn off the music for me? I don't even know. See, I'm supposed to remember to press two buttons, and I'm only 50% efficient in that. I don't know. Is any music still playing, Ben? Let me see, what am I looking at here? Now that one, I think they're all off now. Okay. Okay. All right. So, as I was mentioning, you know, this is, I guess this is December, and everybody asks for people to donate. So, we're a nonprofit. We're a 501c3. We hate to ask for money. So, this is our way of asking for money, telling you that, you know, we hate to ask for money, but, you know, for the vegan cause, come on, nonprofit, 501c3, tax-deductible donation, please, we could use your support. It's Go Vegan Radio. Our program is hitting its 16th anniversary in January, and, you know, we would like to organize another World Vegan Summit and Expo. People are clamoring, but, you know, it takes money. We're a grassroots operation. Low-budget grassroots operation. We're not like the Humane Society of the United States that gets $130 million a year, but still recently laid off 55 employees because it had a $20 million shortfall, even though it collects $130 million a year and has $200 million in the bank and goes around promoting cage-free eggs and lab meat. And has all of its humane animal councils around the country, all farmers, rancher advocacy organization, taking all our money, all the money that could go to Go Vegan Radio to help us spread the word, spread the vegan message, vegan education. What's more important than that? The animals depend upon us to go vegan. The cage-free, the chicken eggs that come from cage-free chickens, you know, those chickens don't appreciate it. They, you know, I mean, all the males, and that's what's amazing, too. The biggest animal organizations, the Humane Society of the United States and Mercy for Animals and the Humane League, all, they receive $2.5 million total among the three of them to promote cage-free eggs. So here, the groups you support are telling you that it's an animal rights accomplishment that every male baby chick is ground alive right after birth, every female is mutilated, and every female is murdered. 100% of the animals are killed, and Would you rather donate to the vegan cause, promoting a vegan message? GoVeganRadio.com. There's the donate button there. I don't hear any animal organization talking about the importance of going vegan to save us from climate change. You know, are they saying that animal agriculture is responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions? You can't even get the Humane Society of the United States to admit to that fact. It's going with some inaccurate information with one of its partners, you know, information from one of its partners in a livestock trade association, a global livestock trade association. And incorrect numbers coming from the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, which basically is a rancher advocacy group like the Humane Society of the United States. So please help us spread the word on the importance of going vegan for the animals and also for planetary survival. I'm just catching up on some news here right now at Live Science, where I see that it says the Antarctic ice shelf could collapse within 100 years. This is what a study finds. And when we talk about climate change, and, you know, I know some of these seemingly progressive outlets like Democracy Now! Like to say that, you know, this is human-caused climate change. Well, let's get more specific. This is climate change. This is meat, dairy, egg, and fish eater-caused climate change that we are facing. So when we hear that the Antarctic ice shelf could collapse within 100 years, study finds, it is because people are eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And let's see here. Let me scroll a little bit and see what it says here regarding this Antarctic ice shelf. And we hope for no pop-up ads. Uh-oh. Oh, I hate when these pop-up ads come up. Stop with the pop-up ads. All right, let me see if I can read through this anyway. A massive iceberg splintered off one of West Antarctica's largest glaciers last year, and now scientists have discovered the troubling reason why, they said. In 2015, an iceberg measuring almost 225 square miles, 580 square kilometers, broke off from the Prince Island Glacier. Let me see here. Let me see if this X is out of it. Yeah, no. Okay. Hold on. Patience. Okay. Let's see. It broke off of the... broke off of the Pine Island Glacier, which forms part of the ice sheet that bounds the West Antarctic ice sheet. Recently, while reviewing satellite images taken before the giant iceberg broke off, researchers found evidence of a rift at the very base of the ice shelf. This suggests that the spawning glacier broke apart from the inside out, the new study said. The base rift was located nearly 20 miles inland and could first be seen in satellite images from 2013, the researchers said. Looking at the satellite images taken before the 2015 fracture, the scientists discovered that the rift spread upward for 2 years before breaking through the surface. Scroll down. Maybe. Scroll down. Announcement. All right. Anyway. Get the idea. All right. That's collapsing. Let me go back to the other story and hope that there's no pop-up ad. Let's see here. My computer. I don't know. Let's see. Nope, not that one. Not that one. And here. Oh, okay. What are the what about meat, dairy, fish, and egg eating, climate change? What's happening? Oh, Utah's Great Salt Lake is shrinking. Salt Lake is shrinking. Okay. Let's see here. Let's see. Up. Oh, gotta get all the ads in. Right. Okay. Get to the story here. Sorry. It says years of drought and over-irrigation have caused Utah's Great Salt Lake to shrink at an alarming rate, recent satellite photos show. After the Great Lakes, Utah's Great Salt Lake is the largest body of water by area in the United States. Let's see. Scroll. Come on, scroll. You can do it. Okay. What did I say? After the Great Lakes, Utah's Great Salt Lake is the largest body of water by area in the United States. Back in the middle of the 19th century, when pioneers first arrived, when the invaders, run for your lives, first arrived in the area, the lake spread across roughly 1,600 square miles. Now the lake covers an area of only about 1,050 square miles, so it's gone from 1,600 to 1,050 square miles. New satellite photos from NASA reveal in October the Great Salt Lake reached its lowest level in recorded history, with the water's surface elevation at only 4,191 feet. So there you have it. It says these dramatic declines in water levels come from years of human activity, namely diverting river water, which would normally fill the lake for agriculture and industry, according to NASA. Okay, well, if we're diverting water, it's probably for animal agriculture, right? And then the agency estimates that about 40% of the river's water is diverted from the lake. These activities, along with the ongoing drought in the West, have drained the historic lake. So we have an ongoing drought in the West. That seems like a climate change function, right? So, and also, let's remember there was a drought in Syria that led to unrest, a lot of what's going on. This is what will be the conditions of the world in the future, because of climate change, because people eat meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. The climate is changing. All the farmers had to go to the city. The unrest, it's a mess. It's a mess because people, the herbivore, the herbivore creature, human. The human herbivore is doing the wrong diet, doing the wrong thing, and look what happens. Just messes up everything. Let's see. Tornado clusters sizes skyrocket, and no one knows why. Tornadoes are behaving strangely. The number of tornado outbreaks per year is fairly consistent, but the number of tornadoes per outbreak has skyrocketed, and scientists aren't entirely sure why. But if you want to blame it on climate change, then just blame people eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, because that is the number one cause of climate change, if you haven't heard it anywhere except here. Responsible for at least 51% of all human-caused greenhouse gas emissions. And let's see, what else do we see at Live Science? We see congressional tweet about disgraceful article ignores science. All right, let's click on this one here and see what we find. All right, congressional tweet about disgraceful article ignores science. And what do we say here? Sorry, my computer has a mind of its own, or a Russian hacker of its own. It says here, Representatives Science, does that sound right? Representative Science Committee is extremely misleading. That doesn't sound right. Am I missing something? Nope. That's where it starts. It says, Representative Science Committee is extremely misleading and disgraceful, climate scientists told Live Science. The article in question, written by a staffer at the far-right website Breitbart, I'm quoting here, direct quote, the article in question, written by a staffer at the far-right-wing website Breitbart, contains cherry-picked data that makes it appear, shouldn't it be make it appear? Oh, okay. That makes it appear as though global temperatures are decreasing, which in reality 2016 is expected to be the hottest year on record, climate experts said. Here we go again, another hottest year on record. We keep setting record after record, month after month, it seems. So it says the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, which has 179,000 followers on Twitter, posted the story on Thursday, December 1st, saying at Breitbart News, global temperatures plunge. Icy silence from climate alarmists. So that was the tweet. It says, global temperatures plunge, icy silence from climate alarmists. Plummeted. Then I think it links to an article, global temperatures plunge. It says, land temperatures have plummeted by 1 degree, the biggest and steepest fall, blah, blah, blah. So it goes on. And so in Live Science, it says, the Breitbart story outright ignores the deleterious impact that our our burning of fossil fuels is having on the planet, said Michael Mann, a distinguished professor of atmospheric science at Pennsylvania State University. Say hi to Jerry Sandusky. Jerry Sandusky's having pizza now? Oh, okay. Sorry. Back to climate change from this article in Life Science. It says, just weeks from now, 2016 will go down as the hottest year on record, having beaten out the previous warmest year, 2015, by a substantial margin, Mann told Live Science in an email. For anyone, least of all the House Committee on Science, to at this particular moment be promoting fake news aimed at fooling the public into thinking otherwise can only be interpreted as a deliberate effort to distract and fool the public. Misleading headline, it says here. It says, the problem with the Breitbart story starts with the headline, which states that global temperatures have plunged. However, in a subheading, the author clarified that it's not global temperatures, but rather global land temperatures that have decreased. The clarification is important because land temperatures fluctuate a lot more than ocean temperatures, said Kevin Trenberth, a distinguished senior scientist with the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. When land and ocean temperatures are combined, it's clear that overall global temperatures are indeed increasing, he said. To illustrate why land temperatures vary more than the oceans, Trenberth said, to imagine a teapot. Imagine a teapot. An empty teapot placed on a hot stove would heat up fairly quickly, but a teapot filled with water would take longer to heat, he said. The land is like the empty teapot. Its temperature fluctuates more rapidly with seasonal weather, whereas the water-filled teapot is akin to the ocean. It takes more energy to change its temperature, meaning its temperature doesn't fluctuate as much, he said. Well, I feel like I'm right back at Stuyvesant High School in Manhattan right now, comparing the ocean to a teapot. That sounds like what I did for about 3 years there. In addition, there are back to the article here. In addition, there are problems with the way the article uses data on global land temperatures taken from satellites operated by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Trinberth said. These satellites measure the temperatures. These satellites measure the temperature of the air several miles from the ground surface, he said. Usually when scientists use this data, they combine the satellite numbers with recordings of ground temperatures taken at weather stations around the world to give a more accurate picture of global land temperatures than can be had from the satellite data alone, Trinberth added. But the Breitbart piece did not include these warmer ground temperatures, making the land temperatures appear colder than usual, Trinberth said. The tweet is extremely misleading, and it's disgraceful, actually, because they get it out to a whole lot of people who don't understand that it's wrong, Trinberth said. Let's see what else here. The Breitbart piece claims that the drop in land temperature was met by icy silence from climate alarmists. Again, that's not the case, Trinberth said. Scientists fully expected to see temperatures drop because El Nino has just ended. El Nino is a phenomenon in the Pacific Ocean, in which warm water in the western tropical Pacific Ocean flows eastward toward South America, heating up surface waters off of northwestern South America. These warm waters are more prone to evaporate than cooler waters would be, and they can fuel Pacific hurricanes and other unusual weather events. I think I understood teapot analogies better than that, but okay. Anyway, El Nino, whatever. So get the idea there. 2016 is going to be the hottest year on record, replacing runner-up 2015. And here, and with this tweet, we recognize once again that we don't know anything. We don't know who's telling us what about what. Oh, look at the time. My goodness, how time flies. I think, let me hit the music. Let me hit the music because it's practically time for Professor Gary Francione to join us. So as I hit the music here, so we can get Professor Francione. Again, I remind you, it's December, and everybody's asking you to make a year-end tax-deductible donation. And I say, do it where it counts. Don't give it to everyone who has, with all those millions of dollars. And what are they promoting anyway? Help a real vegan grassroots effort. You can donate to 501c3 Go Vegan Radio by clicking donate at goveganradio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And there are the Bob Linden pages on Facebook also, because I need friends, more friends, more friends. Am I hitting the right button, Ben? I thought that would turn off the music. Okay. All right. So I have to hit two buttons, and apparently I can only hit one, correctly. So I'm working on it. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Thanks for support from Health Aid Kombucha. Very delicious kombucha, cold pressed, handcrafted in small batches, using only the freshest organic and raw ingredients, flavored with cold pressed juice, fermented 100% in glass and packaged in UV protective amber bottles. Very delicious Health Aid kombucha. It's organic, it's gluten free, it's kosher, certified raw, non-GMO. And of course, it's vegan, or we wouldn't be talking about it here, right? So, very delicious. So, okay, it is that time of week when we are joined for commentary from Professor Gary Francione and Professor Anna Charlton of Rutgers University. How are you today?
We are
I'm fine,
fine. We're
Bob.
fine, Bob. We're
Good,
fine.
good.
Good, good, good. I was just in Los Angeles this week and, visiting family and friends. I took an MRI, which was an interesting first-time experience. The claustrophobia panic machine. That was very strange experience there. And
Were you
I
doing that just for the hell of it, Bob, or what? Just for the
well,
experience?
it's from no, I wouldn't do it just for, it's for the you remember the automobile accident I had?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so it's for the injuries associated with that. That one day I had the accident the day of the show, and the adrenaline was kicking in. Like, so the fire truck comes and the ambulance, and it's like, oh, I'm all right, I'm fine, this is great, And then the next day, like, everything's just totally out of whack, and so it's been that way. But I was also venue shopping, and I saw a place that's has some potential for a future World Vegan Summit and Expo, except
Ah,
you
good,
know.
Bob. We're getting you. We're getting. I knew.
Well,
I knew that we could do this. I knew. Yeah, we
it'll
just keep
happen.
talking about it and we assume it's going to happen. It will happen. It's, you know, and I am.
I just I feel this pressure. I'm the reluctant organizer here. It's like, all right, I'll no, but right now there seem to be some conflicts in dates with both the Rutgers Law School, the breaks that you have, summer break, and even Labor Day. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to look ahead to. Do I look to spring? I don't know. Spring break of
We'll be
next
there,
year.
Bob, no matter when. It's okay. Well,
We'll work it
we'll work.
out.
We'll make whatever arrangements we have to make, and we'll be there. So,
Can you influence the law school as to when breaks can be?
no, I can't, but I can determine if if I'm going to miss a class or something. I just reschedule it, and I do a makeup class. That's all. So
Okay.
if I have a commitment to speak at a conference or whatever, then I just make the class up. I don't do that very often, but I have done it before. And for the World Vegan Summit, I would certainly do it. So there.
Okay. Well, that opens up the calendar a little bit, so
There you go.
I'll get
I
back to
would
work
not
on that.
I wouldn't, make your make this more difficult for you at all than I absolutely have to. But
Well, I needed to coincide also, apparently, with a number of professors who might be joining us, I imagine, right? So, in general, try to get it during the collegiate breaks, I would imagine, as close
Well,
to.
I mean, most of us are not teaching from the beginning of May to the end of August. So, I mean, unless you're teaching, unless somebody, I don't teach summer school. So I mean, so unless you're teaching summer school, you're basically not teaching from the beginning of May to the end of August.
Okay. All
Choose your
right.
So yes, so you can choose the time, Bob. You can choose the time. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that th this week I want just when you think it can't get any crazier, I mean, it just when you think it can't get any crazier, it gets crazier,
It does.
and it really does, and it's disconcerting
I
because you know.
think I'm going to stop thinking that it can't get any crazier. What? I'm going to stop thinking that it can't get any crazier because everything seems to do that all the time. So why do I even think that anymore? Okay, but indeed, I know you're going to tell us.
Yes.
Tell us how this time.
Well, you know, last week, I guess it was, I read about people being upset about the British £5 note containing beef tallow, that they use it for, you know, some coating on the bill.
There's a new £5 note. I think it's right. made up out of a plastic polymer sort of thing. It's supposed to last for much longer than a regular paper bank note.
Yeah.
So it's all glitzy and high tech and hard to reproduce and stuff.
But it has beef tallow.
But it has beef tallow somewhere down in those polymers.
Right. And apparently a fairly small amount, that is, for all of the £5 notes. I read an article that said that it required 1/2 of 1 cow. Now, of course, I would not, you know, I'm not in any way saying that that's okay because it's a small amount, but I'm just informing you as to what the amount is. Well, this started a huge protest on the part of people like, you know, Hindus and others who were upset about it. You know, there were some people who were upset about it for religious reasons, but there were animal advocates who were all upset about it. And I thought, isn't this just bizarre that, you know, people are, I mean, first of all, there are animal products in computers, in road surfaces, all of the plastics. I mean, was a computer or the housing on your cell phone or whatever. There are animal byproducts because we slaughter so many animals. These byproducts are very cheap. And if we're all vegans, there would be substitute, you know, somebody would figure out substitutes. They don't need to figure anything out right now because the cost of this stuff is so cheap because they literally are getting it from, you know, slaughterhouse wastes. And but, you know, you think that this stuff is all around us. All these animal byproducts are all around us. And some animal some animal products have been used to make this note. And again, it's all terrible, but, you know, this is what happens when you've got a lot of people eating a lot of animals, and there are all these products around that can be used for various purposes. So we have, you know, yet another product that has animal products in it, animal ingredients. Well,
the situation also took a particularly odd twist when a vegetarian restaurant in Cambridge, one actually that we went to many years ago, there a long time.
Been there a long time.
So they know it's vegetarian and vegan, but using the term vegetarian as opposed to vegan.
Meaning non-meat.
That's right.
Right, that's right.
So they had a sign up that says, sorry, we can't accept the new £5 note, as it contains animal byproducts. So I click through the website of the restaurant again to see if I've misunderstood anything here. And indeed they sell, things with, of course, free range eggs, but eggs in it and other animal products. So you've got a sign out saying we can't accept the new denomination note because it contains byproducts when you want to pay for the animal products that we're selling to you. And it was a very enterprising move on their part because it's got a huge amount of press in Britain. And while those situations are always good opportunities for vegans to talk about the animal issue, it is a very strange situation to bring it to the front.
You can eat the notes in a salad, but you can't.
Well, exactly. That's right. We'll serve you free-range eggs, but we can't take a banknote that has some minute amount of animal byproduct in its, you know, when it's manufactured, in order to pay for it.
And what really is so absurd is you have all of these animal people petitioning and, you know, get rid of the beef tallow and the £5 note. And you have them praising this restaurant in Cambridge, which refuses to accept the £5 note to pay for the animal products that they're selling. And, you know, the whole thing, I mean, and it has gotten a huge amount of press. I mean, this has been a big issue. And then to make it even crazier, there were initial reports that people were saying, well, the Scottish £5 note doesn't have beef tallow in it. And then they took that back and said, oh, no, there is some beef tallow in it. But this whole discussion about whether there's beef tallow in the damn £5 notes, I mean, it is just the most strange thing. You don't really know where to start with it. As I said, you know, I don't see animal advocates and I wouldn't I really wouldn't think this is a good idea anyway, but nevertheless, what I think is a good idea is not really what guides a lot of these animal advocates. But, you know, they're not petitioning, as far as I know. I don't see any petitions out there for, you know, stopping the use of animal byproducts and all the plastic, you know, the plastic casing on all of these toys that folks like to have in terms of their cell phones and their computers and whatnot and their tablets and things like that. But all of a sudden, you know, this has become an issue. This has become like the single issue campaign du jour. We've got to do something about this. We've got to take a stand. Our money has beef tallow in it. But you're talking about a lot of people protesting, including this restaurant. I mean, that's the other thing, is that it's yes, the restaurant is saying we won't accept the £5 notes, but there are people who are upset about this who aren't vegan. And so, you know, I mean, and even if you are vegan, it seems to me, I mean, talk about a waste of time. If you're vegan and you want other people to go vegan, the idea anybody spends any time on this sort of campaign is just it's appalling. I mean, it's a silly campaign to spend any time on, even if you're a vegan. If you're not a vegan, then what are we talking about? I mean, I'm putting aside the people who have religious objections, you know, people who have religious objections, you know, I don't want to try to understand the rationality of religious objections, so I won't. But I just find it odd that animal people, that animal advocates, you know, whether they're vegan or not vegan, are all upset about this. But the ones who aren't vegan, this is just peculiar to me. And you know, with this restaurant in Cambridge, and the one of the comical comments I saw today was somebody saying, well, you know, this is maybe an educational thing. Maybe people, you know, maybe this will make some vegetarians go vegan. This restaurant's been around since like what, 79, 80 or something.
Exactly.
I mean, it's been around forever. You know, I mean, we went to, if it's the same place I'm thinking of, mm-hmm. we went to it and we had dinner with some friends in Cambridge, and that must have been in 1990, you know, the early 90s,
yeah.
probably.
Yeah.
And this place has been around for years. And it, Yeah. It's got dairy. It's got eggs. And they don't even, I mean, you know, not that this would, I mean, they claim that the eggs are free range. I didn't see anything on the menu that said that the dairy was happy dairy. But, you know, or a Himza
milk. But the males born become the beef anyway, so I mean,
right? No. I mean, Bob, the absurdity of this on multiple levels is profound. I mean, it really is. I mean, it. You know, between watching the news at night to see what Donald Trump has done today, and reading this sort of stuff, you just get the feeling that it's all spinning out of control, and it's descending into madness.
With my luck, my first trip to Europe, I'll spend one of those, and then I'll wind up getting mad cow disease or something from.
Yes. Yeah. Are you going to Europe?
Do you have no plans now. I don't want to use, I don't want to touch the currency. I'm not going.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, the idea that people are upset about, I mean, look, Do I want beef tallow in my 5-pound notes? And the answer is no. I also don't want beef products or any animal products in my cell phone or my computer or my tablet or the road surfaces I'm driving on or the glues used in, you know, the glues used in my fabric upholstery car and all that stuff. I don't want any of that stuff. But the reason...
That said,
you make me not want to touch or do anything ever again.
Well, there. I mean,
what's the problem?
If you're if you are a vegan, so that you're not using the currency to buy some animal product, I mean, it's an opportunity perhaps to start a conversation. There is a pound coin that you can use. So there's nothing wrong with saying I'd prefer a pound coin because the pound note, the 5-pound note has animal products in it. Now, it's quite possible that there are animal products used in the production of the coin too. I haven't heard about that.
I wouldn't be surprised if the equipment used to cut the coins.
Exactly. Yeah. It could be have animals in that production too. So there's, you know, any opportunity to raise the vegan question is useful. And it's good to bring to people's attention that there are animal byproducts in nearly everything that we use, so it can be useful in that way. But that's very different from the non-vegans, you know, petitioning to get the byproducts out of the currency.
If that restaurant would go vegan as a result of
this, wouldn't it? Well, we'll hold our breath. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought about saying, you know, we should petition the restaurant to go vegan, but then I would get all these people saying, he's petitioning and it's a single issue campaign and he's being divisive and blah, blah, blah. And we know how I shrink from that. But it really is just absurd. I mean, I find vegetarian restaurants, to be some of the most annoying places in the entire world. Because, to be honest with you, I find them more annoying than a conventional restaurant because, you know, they're trying to sort of claim a moral high ground when they're serving all of these other animal products that involve suffering, death, and injustice. And so, you know, I mean,
would you like some smugness with your salad?
Right, exactly. At least the conventional restaurants aren't smug about it. I mean, you know, but with vegetarian restaurants, I mean, if you go to the restaurant, what's it called? The Rainbow?
Yeah,
I think the Rainbow Restaurant or something in Cambridge. If you go to the menu, I mean, it's just like sort of this, you know,
free range, grass fed.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's free range and grass fed, and it's just like sort of, you know, it's like, oh, we're claiming the moral high ground. It's just precious. It's precious and it's annoying. But then I have to say, it was a brilliant marketing ploy because they got a huge amount of coverage, but that's all it could be. I mean, these people can't be that dumb. That the light hasn't gone on about, you know, the problem with dairy products. I mean, this restaurant's been open since like 1979 or thereabouts. So they just don't get it. They get it just fine. They understand what's going on. They're just making a business decision to keep on selling, you know, dairy and eggs. Which I actually find odd because, you know, they've been in business for like decades. You would have thought that they would have figured out by now how to make really good. I mean, you can make great stuff. I mean, you don't need dairy and eggs to make really great restaurant food. Really, really appealing stuff. I'm trying to think, what was the name of that place that we ate in Norwich recently? Was it the River Cafe? No, it wasn't the River Cafe. I forget what it was. We were in Britain recently, and we ate at this place near Norwich. We were in East Anglia, and we ate in this place near Norwich, and it was an exclusively vegan restaurant, and it was superb. It was absolutely superb, and they had all the stuff. They had all the sweets and the cakes and the pies and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't a you know, an austere place. I mean, you know, they had a lot.
Also absolutely packed.
Yeah, and it was jammed. I mean, you had to wait to get a table. The place was absolutely packed.
Well,
and
you would know we have that. The best food. We know we have the best. Food. It doesn't need to be contaminated with eggs and dairy.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that anything that you make with animal products, you can make without animal products, and it'll taste just as good, maybe better. And so, you know, everything, you know,
as we're thinking about great vegan food, you know, we've all got the holidays coming up. Well, most people in the Western hemisphere have got holidays coming up. So good time to be practicing that one fantastic mouth-watering dish to convince your friends and relatives that veganism isn't some sort of deprivation or strange thing. Go and cook something fantastic other than a cupcake. Go make something fantastic that will just shatter the idea of what vegan food is about.
It's called River Green Cafe.
Right,
I just
Green.
Looked it
that
up. I just
so
looked
good.
It up on the internet. It was just fabulous. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that expensive either, as I recall. It wasn't that expensive.
Right.
But the thing is that, you know, you got these vegetarian restaurants that are, you know, they're a little precious, you know, grass fed this and free range that. And you know, claiming some sort of moral high ground. And what's annoying to me is that it's so cynical. What they did was basically, this was just nothing but a market. This was just nothing but a publicity stunt. And you know, I mean, they know darn well that they're exploiting animals. They know darn well that the products that they're serving are the result of suffering, injustice, death. But they do it anyway because they're making money off of it. Only they don't want the money that's got animal products in it. I mean, it's just... Bob, I just, you know, just
well,
when you think...
They're part of the beef industry right there.
Right,
so,
exactly, you know, exactly, right. Exactly. I mean, you know what would be really great is I think you should invite them on to Go Vegan Radio next week. I really ask them to come on and talk about this because... Maybe there is something here, Bob, that I just haven't figured out that makes this. I mean, I might disagree with it, but it would make sense. But I not only disagree with this, but it makes no sense. I just don't understand it. It's called the Rainbow Vegetarian Restaurant in Cambridge, the Rainbow Vegetarian Cafe in Cambridge, England. And as I said, I'm not going to agree morally with them under any circumstance, but I would just be curious as to what the reasoning was here because it just makes no sense to me. And I would have thought that it was transparent, you know, that there was something really wrong with a restaurant that serves animal products saying we don't want to, you know, take 5-pound notes. But they've gotten nothing but, you know, they've gotten a lot of publicity with a lot of animal people saying, oh, this is just wonderful. You know, this is why, Bob, we need a World Vegan Summit 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10.
Keep us on the right track.
Yeah, exactly. And but it is just really remarkable.
There's a longtime vegetarian, or meaning non-vegan restaurant in Los Angeles, where I used to eat, and when I was in L.A. just now, I only patronized 100% vegan restaurants. But so for years, I did go to this vegetarian restaurant. Whenever people ordered, the server person would say, is dairy cheese okay? Or, you know, It was always and whenever is dairy cheese okay, people say, yeah, okay. I couldn't understand why they would say, like, is vegan cheese okay? Why aren't you saying is vegan cheese okay instead of saying is dairy cheese okay? Or at least you're not even saying would you prefer dairy cheese or vegan cheese? It's is dairy cheese okay? So people normally say yes when somebody's saying, is this okay? Oh yeah, that's fine. And for years I just had this dispute with management over you know, come on. Why not say, is vegan cheese okay?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so I don't know. I mean, I really, as far as I'm concerned, if somebody says to me, well, you know, should I patronize a vegetarian restaurant? if I've got a choice, and it's a choice between eating in a conventional restaurant or a vegetarian but not vegan restaurant, I always tell people what difference does it make. They're all conventional. One of them doesn't serve a particular animal product, but they serve animal products. And so what difference does it make? You know, I mean, the only advantage I can see from eating in a vegetarian but not vegan restaurant is you might have a better chance of getting truthful answers about what animal products are in things, because there may be some things which are identifiably, you know, vegan, you know, or more easily identifiable as vegan, so that you don't have to worry that, you know, you're eating something that you've been told doesn't have animal products, but that does. So there may be some identifiable things that you can get in a vegetarian restaurant, but that's simply a matter of convenience. As far as the morality of it is concerned, as far as I'm concerned, you eat in a conventional restaurant and you eat in a vegetarian restaurant, they're the same to me.
It's just basically the pigs are missing from
right. Exactly. I mean, it's like going into a restaurant that serves, you know, beef from brown cows, but not spotted cows. I mean, what's very upsetting to me is that the animal advocates have really promoted this idea that vegetarianism is a morally coherent position, is a morally desirable position, when it's not at all. And also, you know, what's very interesting to us is the number of people who write to us and say that they have been vegetarians for years and they've been involved in these organizations. No one's ever told them they've got to go vegan. You know, I mean, and that, you know, that they're in fact encouraged because they are long-term vegetarians. And we get a lot of people who say, they're going vegan now after 20 years of being a vegetarian. It's remarkable. Just remarkable.
When we get together, people lump us together and they say vegans and vegetarians as if, you know, we're associated, when it's actually like meat eaters and vegetarians are one group. You know, they're
absolutely associated. Absolutely. Together,
you know? It's like, you know, yep. Somebody says to me, "Oh, I'm with you. I'm a vegetarian." It's like, "No, you're not with me. You're with the meat eaters, actually." So, but you can join me here.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So I don't know. I mean, it's troubling, say the least.
Yeah. All right, and now I know I have to wear a glove when I use currency from the UK now. Is this? You have to wear gloves for that now too, and everything else I touch. I don't like. I'm not one for shaking hands with. My compulsive behavior. What can I tell you? So.
Indeed.
All right, but yeah, Daisy, I can kiss you, baby. All right, Daisy's looking at me like, okay, is it time for a walk yet? So I think it might be. Anything else that we wanted to mention, or are we?
No, we're just so excited to hear about the next World Vegan Summit.
Indeed, indeed we are.
We're just marking, well, just give us a day.
I was just making some exploratory, you know, it's like exploratory, like, you know, like I'm running for president in 4 years. These are exploratory, you know, exploratory missions. But I found an interesting place. We'll work on the calendar and see what we can do. So.
Do you want to tell us where it is, or do you not want to disclose the venue yet?
Well, I mean, it's. I don't want to disclose because things come and go, right. And you know, so I'll just.
You see, if you did it, if you had disclosed it, what I would do is I was just going to post to the 80,000 people on my Facebook page, third world vegan summit to be held at, and then once they know the location, it just becomes more real.
That's what I'm afraid of happening. So yes, but we'll. We'll keep you posted as we go along here, and see what dates might work and what we can do. I know it's necessary. I know it's necessary.
you know, I'm just looking at this River Green Cafe. It says vegetarian and vegan. Was that place not vegan? I thought it was vegan. All right. Well. What? I don't want to. I'll tell you next week. I don't know whether I if it's not vegan, I can't recommend it. But I thought it was vegan. In any event, we'll see.
Which,
The place in Norwich, the place that I said, the River Green, the place that we ate it. Well, I thought it was vegan.
And you know, sometimes vegan places use the word vegetarian, even though they're vegan, to allay some of the fears that people might have. You know, so
exactly because the animal movement has made everybody scared of being vegan because they say it's peculiar, hard, difficult, and whatnot. I mean, you know, the animal people have just done a real hatchet job on vegan. And it's appalling. It really is appalling. But yeah, you're right. Some of the restaurants that are vegan say vegetarian on them because, although I guess, you know, when we talk about vegan, we're talking about, you know, a philosophy of life, you know, where you don't eat them, wear them, use them, and, you know, and patronize things that involve animals and things like that. Whereas if we're just talking about a diet, a vegetarian diet should not have animal products in it at all.
It says 100% vegetarian, you usually, you know, sometimes you think vegan. 100% vegetarian shouldn't mean eggs and dairy, really. And
exactly.
It was when the we had the prefixes – or prefixes, I don't know, of lacto and ovo that were the asterisks that said, hey, wait a second, we're not quite pure here, we're lacto, or we're lacto-ovo. So then we knew, like, well, not quite really vegetarian. And then the whole word got taken over and, compromised. I remember talking to Supreme Master Ching Hai. I interviewed her, and she said, "In my country, vegetarian meant vegan." You know, so it's been confused by. Of course, the dairy and egg industries run all the way to the bank with vegetarian dollars.
Of course.
With or without animal ingredients in them. Right. And I wonder if U.S. currency has. Do you think U.S. currency might have animal ingredients in it?
Well, there's coatings and processing and all that stuff. You can't get away from it until we stop eating them.
Indeed, indeed. Oh. You can't get – I mean, it's unfortunate because, you know, like – you know, I have razor – you know, I get these razor blades that have a strip that is vegan. You know, because most of the strips, most of the razor blades that have those strips, they have lanolin in them. And so I get these blades, these razor blades that don't have a strip in them, but I'm sure I'd bet money that the blades are cut on machines that use animal oils, you know, like, because that's very common in the steel, in, you know, when you're cutting steel, it's very common to use animal based oils on the equipment. Exactly. I mean, it's you know, you can't really avoid it. But if we were vegans, then the stuff would be, you know, I mean, it's used because it's cheap. That's why this stuff is used. You know, it's not used because it performs some function that nothing else can perform. It's used because it's cheap. And if we were vegans and we weren't slaughtering animals for food, and we weren't wearing animals and using animals for all the frivolous purposes we use them for, then those products, you know, would, I mean, then you'd somebody would come up with alternatives to using animals because the animal byproducts wouldn't be available. They're only used. Well, they're only used because they're available.
Someone's trying to extract the last few cents out of that poor slaughtered body. So it makes it marginally profitable.
Exactly.
But we'd come up with something else.
Indeed, we would. Well, Robert, we will see you next week, and I'm hoping. I think I'll post something saying perhaps Bob Lynn will tell us where the venue is going to be for the Third World Vegan Summit, and get their appetites wet.
Now you're painted into a corner.
Yes, Bob, you are in a corner.
Yeah.
All right.
We shall see. Okay, well, thank you for being with us, and
thank you
for listening.
Register again, for the vegan summit.
Well, you can't quite register for it yet.
And pre-register. Again, pre-register.
Pre-register. Send money. Donate. If we had some big donations, then it would make it easier. So. And it's that time of year when people ask for donations, apparently. Oh, I hate asking for money. This is so terrible, having a nonprofit and hating asking for money. Where's Paul Shapiro or Wayne Pacelli when I need them? Oh, they're asking for money for their $130 million a year corporation.
Hey, but they're down 55 employees, though. So, I mean, they're tightening their belts, boy. They're tightening their belts.
Well, I'm still looking to hire my first employee ever. So,
all right, we'll see you next week.
Okay, thank you. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. Professor Francione and Charlton. Okay, and thank you for listening. And you can support this program with a tax deductible donation by clicking donate at govegan.com. Thanks for listening.